Well, greetings again, friends and brethren. I hope this finds everyone doing well. If you need a title for this message today, it is Another Gospel. Another Gospel, or another way of saying it is Another Doctrine. You could call it that, I guess, Another Gospel or Another Doctrine. And of course we know that the word gospel means good news. And the gospel that Jesus Christ preached when he was on this earth was the good news of the coming kingdom of God. But as we'll discuss today in God's word, it entails a lot more of that, because it has been mentioned before that gospel is what leads to our salvation. So it entails a lot more than just the message of the kingdom of God, but it entails all that truth and understanding which enables us to attain the kingdom of God, all that truth and doctrine that God revealed to his people in the end time here, or restored in the end time. And remember that gospel was preached on this earth in the first century by the first century apostles, and then between the first and second century, as the the so-called dark or lost century in the history of the Church of God occurred. And at the end of that, what emerged was a, as far as the Church of God was concerned, was a very small fragmented group that was basically underground because of persecution. And they had begun to lose much of the truth of the true gospel. And also what emerged was a great false church, which, as we know, dominates the earth today. That false church and all of its daughters that have sprung off from it. But that true gospel, as Mr. Armstrong noted, had been suppressed and much of it lost for 1,900 years. That's 119-year time cycles until God brought Mr. Armstrong on the scene, and then gradually truth began to be restored back into the church. And all those truths and doctrines were elements of that true gospel. So the word gospel is really a synopsis in and of itself of all of that truth. Because it's one thing to understand that the word means good news, but if you don't understand what that good news is, and it's more than just the fact that God's kingdom is coming, it's the understanding of the knowledge of that kingdom and how it's going to be put in place, all those truths and doctrines that tie into that. And without that understanding, you don't have the true gospel. So Mr. Armstrong noted when he was giving many World Tomorrow broadcasts over the years, and also in his sermons and booklets, that there's a false gospel in this world today, and a false understanding of the true Jesus Christ, and a false gospel going out. And it's because they don't have a full understanding of the truth. So God did restore that true gospel and truth in the end time through his apostle. And it's the, as Christ says in his word, there's only one way, there's only one true church. And God's word shows there's only one way to the true God. And God said he would send one in the end time to restore that way. One man to restore that one way. Not many men to restore many ways. So let's begin by turning to Galatians. Notice Galatians chapter 1. Excuse me. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, Paul. And this really could be considered, this message in a way, it's a warning to God's church from Paul. But because you notice in verse 2 there, he's addressing this to and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of God of Galatia. So this is addressed to God's people. That's something that we need to pay attention to. But notice verse 6. It says, I marvel that you... See, you brethren are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Well, today, friends and brethren, we can see that happening to God's people. See, the Bible is up to date. The Bible is complete for us today, as Mr. Armstrong very clearly taught us. And so the Bible does speak today. If we have God's Spirit and haven't grieved it, it still speaks to us today. And it's more up to date now than it has ever been. So God's people today have turned from the true gospel. Now many out there are trying to preach the gospel to the world again, especially some of the larger groups or divisions of what was once God's church, but they're doing it in hypocrisy because there's so much division. And they've all turned from that one gospel. See? Christ only has the one gospel, not many gospels. But he says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him. And that's God the Father, brethren, because John 6:44, Jesus Christ says, no man can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him. So we know it's God the Father who draws us and calls us to Jesus Christ. So in the scripture also says that no one can come to the Father except through Christ. So as a result, what we see happening today with God's people, the ministry and us, the members as well, they're turning away from God the Father. And they don't even realize it. This is a marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, verse 7, which is not another. See, there's not another gospel. There's only one. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert, another translation say distort, the gospel of Christ. Well, today that's what we see happening with the entire ministry, what was left of the ministry of Jesus Christ under Mr. Armstrong. Today that gospel's being perverted. And why do I say that? Because the scripture just says right here there's not another gospel. There's only one. So today we see many divisions and splits and splinters in different, whatever you want to call the title there, Church of God, Churches of God, all preaching a different version of their own version of the gospel. It's because none of them are holding fast to that one gospel that Christ gave to his people here in the end time. So it says it's not another, but there are some who trouble you, want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So today that's what has happened to the true gospel. All that wonderful truth and knowledge and understanding of the true gospel and how to achieve our goal of making it into the kingdom of God and all that knowledge that it pertains to, that wonderful knowledge that God revealed to us in the end time. But notice verse 8, it says, but even if we, so Paul's saying, look, we, ministers, see, and he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he says, if any of us in the ministry, or even an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Notice verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So he repeats that twice, and as Mr. Armstrong stated about this statement here, it's a double curse pronounced on anyone who departs from that one gospel into another gospel, which is not another. See, there's not another. There is simply not. There's only the one. Notice Galatians chapter 3 now. You know, beginning in verse 1, and look, we can put our name there where it says Galatians. It says, oh, foolish Galatians. Well, that's God's people in Galatia. So today we could just say, oh, foolish people of the church of God, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? See, that truth is part of the gospel, brethren. That's what he's talking about here. They departed from that one gospel and are going to another. And that was a problem at that time, and today it's a massive problem because look what we... Just look around. Look around, and what do we see of God's church? It's just a mess. So, oh, foolish people of God, or Galatians. And so today we can apply that to ourselves collectively as God's church. Who has bewitched you? Yet you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Drop down to verse 8. It's an interesting statement here. It says, in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So that promise, see, was part of the true gospel. See, those truths that God revealed to us, and Mr. Armstrong made it very plain in his writings in the United States and Britain in prophecy, how the United States and Britain came to great power here towards the end time. And that pride of that power is also going to be broken, and it's in a process of happening right now. But that prophecy about when God told Abraham that in you all the nations shall be blessed, that's part of the true gospel. Why do I say that? Because it says right here in verse 8, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So see, all these truths, these foundational truths that God restored in the end time to his Elijah, Mr. Armstrong, are all part of that true gospel. Notice 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians, and this is also to the church of God at Corinth from Paul. See, he spent a lot of time warning God's people in different churches, even though he primarily went to the Gentiles, but he addressed letters to God's people. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 3, Paul says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds, see, you people of God, may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Verse 4, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached," see, think about that, that's part of that true gospel. That's what's happening today in the world, but yes, in the very church of God, these churches out here, these splits and divisions, and some are larger than others, and some have bigger names than others, and some have their different types of works than others. But Paul is saying here in verse 4, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached," see, that true gospel, which contains that truth, all of that truth, "or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well be put up with it." And notice what he goes on to say about it. Drop down to verse 12. "But what do I do? I will also continue to do what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast." So that's part of what God's work today is, even through this website. Because I'm going to continue, and we're going to continue pointing God's people back to that true gospel, that truth that has been restored here in the end time, that foundation of truth, so that we will have an opportunity to not go into tribulation and to lose, or even to lose our eternal lives, because that's how serious it is, brethren. But notice what Paul goes on to say about these men who bring another Jesus or another gospel. And this, yes, God's own people today, God's own ministry even. Verse 13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." So it's very deceptive. They look like, and they say, "Oh yeah, we've preached that same gospel that Mr. Armstrong preached, and we believe those things," but they don't, because they don't hold fast to them all. Notice verse 14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." Verse 15, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness." See, right doing. So today what we see is ministers who portray the right way, the right doing. See, they have had at one time the understanding and the truth of Jesus Christ as he revealed it through his apostle. And therefore, they transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. And I see, not ministers of unrighteousness, but they look like ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. That's what's going to happen. Their end is going to be according to their works. And God puts a great responsibility on his ministry to hold fast to the truth and to preach it faithfully and to preach the word of God faithfully without their own interpretations and without putting in their own doctrine and truths, or also without omitting some of those truths. And that's what we see happening today in many of the churches of God out there. They just overlook some doctrines because, well, this is the age of appeasement or tolerance, so we don't want to offend anybody by telling them, well, well, that doctrine really is still in effect and you shouldn't be doing this or shouldn't be doing that. But they won't preach that today because they don't want to offend anyone and lose any of their members. But God gave this truth in the end time to his people through his apostle for a reason. And then you have others that are preaching truth that's not even part of the truth that God revealed to us through Mr. Armstrong, that foundation. They have their own ideas and quote-unquote new truth and new doctrines. And in the process of preaching this garbage, they do away with God's truth. And again, as it says at the end of verse 15, their end is going to be according to their works. That's what God's word says, brethren. Notice 1 Timothy now. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Is Paul again In verse 3, he says, I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Wow, see, there must have been a problem going on there whenever he said, address that. Why would he address that if that problem hadn't been going on? So he knew that there should not be any other doctrine taught, first of all. And there must have been a problem with it because he addresses Timothy here to stay there in Ephesus and charge some that they teach no other doctrine, or command them not to teach any other doctrine. Notice verse 4, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. Well, today, that's what we see happening. And I was just came to mind just now, but I had gotten an email from a man yesterday who just recently had come into the truth here. I guess must have been in the past year. I'm not clear on that, but he had begun to read Mr. Armstrong's material and some of the old church material, and his mind was becoming converted, and he wanted to be a part of God's church. Well, unfortunately, he went to one of the larger church groups and began to attend, and he wanted to be baptized, and he had a hard time understanding what was going on there. Because he had told me in this email that from what he read through Mr. Armstrong's material, and then what he saw in before, during, and after those church services was a stark contrast from what he expected it to be. Because people came there before church, and he said he heard every conversation under the sun, absolutely nothing to do with God or His Word, just idle talk, talking about fishing and hunting and their jobs and just all kinds of things, everything except God's truth. And then he goes, the sermons were basically just mush, and then afterwards everybody would just hightail it to a restaurant. That was the highlight of their Sabbath. Every Sabbath it was just to go and eat at a restaurant, and then that was their focus. So he had presented to me some questions. What do I do? He said, I want to be baptized, and so he went on with some other questions, but it was interesting that he brought up those points about what he observed. And here's somebody coming into the God's truth and wanting to be baptized and understanding the truth, and he goes to one of these groups out here, and his observation was very disappointing from what it should be. And so I wrote him back and basically told him, well, it's unfortunate in that, you know, indeed our conversation at all times, but especially on the Sabbath, should have to do with God and God's truth and that wonderful plan of God and what He's revealed to us and what's going on right now with God's church and God's work and what's God doing right now, what's Christ doing now, and what's about to happen to God's people and what's about to happen in prophecy and all these wonderful things that God has revealed to us. That's what our conversation should be on God's Sabbath and on any day, actually, if you're with brethren. We can't talk about those things necessarily with people of the world unless they're just inquisitive and ask, but because they don't understand otherwise. But with brethren, that's what our conversation should be. But evidently, it's not what's going on in many of these areas. And that's not the first time I've heard of that. I've heard many stories of that nature. And it's a shame. It's a shame on all of us because of that. But that was verse 6 there where I left off. At verse 7, continuing, it says, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. And that's what we see today in God's church. We have many self-proclaimed teachers out there and many desiring to be teachers. And there are those that are coming up in some of those groups, some of the younger people that are desiring to be teachers are not even being taught the right foundation to learn from, much less to teach from. Notice verse 8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, and for the ungodly, and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. Now notice this, and if there is any other thing, so it covers a lot of physical sins here, But also, it says, if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Okay, so that covers everything. So Paul says, if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So today we see many other things, physically and spiritually, in God's own church, which is contrary to sound doctrine. And what is that sound doctrine? That sound doctrine is that truth and understanding and knowledge and doctrine that Jesus Christ restored in the end time through his end time apostle. Restored it into his own church, his own family. A wonderful doctrine and truth. And so today God's people have departed from that, and as a result, you will see something that applies today, that Christ was addressing the Pharisees about there in Matthew 15. If you want to turn there, Matthew 15, beginning in verse 7, he says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying," verse 8, "these people draw near to me with their mouths." That's what happens today with God's people. They draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So they're departing from God's doctrine and commandments and teaching men's doctrines. That's what's happening in God's own people there today. This is a warning to all of us. Notice also John chapter 7. John chapter 7, beginning in verse 16. It says, Jesus answered and answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." So the doctrine, brethren, that we have been given by Jesus Christ, who is end time apostle, it wasn't Christ. It came through Christ, but it came from the very God the Father, the great God, the Father in heaven. So think about that whenever you see or contemplate whether these doctrines are important or not. Well, they're evidently important if they came from God the Father himself. Think about that. And then through Jesus Christ, and then down through his apostles of the first century, but also back in the 20th century, when God restored those lost doctrines back into his church. Well, it was Christ that came through Christ through his apostle, but it came from God the Father. Notice verse 17. It says, "If anyone wills to do his will," see, whose will? The Father. "He shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory." So we see much of that today, don't we? "But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." That means there must be righteousness then, or right doing. But the point there in verse 16 is that the doctrine that God gave us came from the Father, came from God the Father. That's just an awesome thing to think about, that doctrine came from God the Father. And yet today, men and many of God's people, the vast majority, take that doctrine so lightly. Oh, that's just a minor doctrine. It's not important, so we just let it go. Or we have new doctrines, see, but the doctrine that God gave us, that Christ gave through us, through his apostle, came from the Father. Just notice something briefly in Acts chapter 2. This is mentioned on the website in one or two articles. But Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, it says there, and this is in the day of Pentecost in AD 31, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." Well, that doctrine of the apostles is the same doctrine that Jesus Christ revealed to them, which came, as was just mentioned, from God the Father. But notice it says they continued steadfastly. That means they held fast to it, to that apostles' doctrine. How many today, brethren, are holding fast to the apostles' doctrine from the first century and from the 20th century? All of them are God's apostles. How many today are continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? Not very many. So let's turn to Romans chapter 16, because there's an admonition here, something that we need to pay attention to, because this is part of what God's work is today, and trying to help God's people to wake up. Some are waking up, but the vast majority are still asleep. But notice Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, know to those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and do what? Avoid them. See, that's one way to prevent confusion and division right there. You just avoid those. Avoid those who cause divisions and offenses. See, there should be no divisions. I'm going to touch on that momentarily, but God's church should not be divided, but it is. So God tells us here to note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Well, it's unfortunate that's what's happened today. There's been a lot of smooth words out there, and a lot of ministers out there who are serving their own belly and not the true Jesus Christ, because they're teaching I think I had a glitch there in my sound system. I'm going to go back over this again, just one more time, just in case it didn't get recorded. But verse 17 again says, "Now I urge," this is Romans 16, verse 17, it says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." So today that's what is happening. Notice verse 18, "For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." Thus, what's happening today in the churches of God out there is the ministry. They're serving their own belly. That's been brought up many times before on this website. Through God's Word, not from my mind or my imagination, but right out of God's Word. So we see today many people being deceived by smooth words and flattering speech, because these ministers are serving their own belly and not the true Jesus Christ, because they are preaching contrary to the doctrine which you learned. So God says, avoid them. It's very simple. Avoid them. In Ephesians 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, it's talking about the gifts and the purpose of the ministry, where God put some to be, in verse 11 there, apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. It's interesting that the word teacher is there. It is for the equipping of the saints. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Notice verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See, all kinds of doctrines out there. And how does it happen? By the trickery of men. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So, but what we should be doing is in verse 15, speaking the truth. See, what truth is that? That truth that God revealed to his people. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head. That's the head of the church, Jesus Christ. So today we see many being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. That's what's happening. That's why there's so much division. Notice Titus now, and it shows what a minister should be doing, or anyone who's a representative of Jesus Christ. In verse 7 and 8, gives some of the characteristics that a representative of Jesus Christ should have. But notice verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word. Okay, that's very important, that little statement right there. How many today do we see holding fast the faithful word? As he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. See, not by men's doctrine or doctrines of men's imaginations, but holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Notice what it says there in verse 10. It says, for there are many insubordinate. That means there, I mentioned this before in a recent message, that God's people today in the ministry are insubordinate to God's apostle and therefore to Jesus Christ, because they don't do what? Verse 9, hold fast the faithful word as they've been taught. So they're insubordinate. Verse 10 again, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. That means of the household of God, brethren. Especially those of the household of God. Notice verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. So today, that's exactly what we see happening. And their mouths are going to be stopped. Christ is going to do this. God says in His Word He's going to stop these mouths. And they will be stopped when they realize they're going to be caught in a tribulation and that their little schemes and plans haven't worked the way they've deceived their followers into thinking. This is God's Word speaking to us today, brethren. Time to wake up. It's time to wake up and return to that doctrine and gospel, which includes that doctrine and truth of Jesus Christ. If not, we're in danger of losing it all forever, every single one of us, brethren, because if we've been given God's Holy Spirit, judgment is now upon us. Not later, it's now, and time's running out. That judgment's almost over. It's not going to last much longer. The world hasn't been judged yet, but we are being judged right now. So it's time to return to that foundation of Jesus Christ, that doctrine of Christ. Notice what it says in 2 John, in verse 9. Actually, begin in verse 8. It says, look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we worked for. See, all this time we've been in God's church, and many of God's people are throwing it away right now because they're following every wind of doctrine instead of holding fast to that doctrine. Look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. See, eternal life. That's what our goal is. But notice verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Wow. If you don't abide in this doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Notice verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares his evil deeds. So God's saying there, we shouldn't even be fellowshipping with those who not bring that doctrine of Christ, that truth. And there's only the one doctrine, that one way. That one way that God revealed to His people. Notice 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, we'll look at verse 17. It says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. See, judgment's now. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? See, that means, it's interesting the way that it says there, obey the gospel. So the gospel contains something that we must obey. See, it's not just a message that was preached out to the world as a witness, but it contains that way of life, the understanding of keeping of God's law, spiritual law, and all those truths and doctrines. So the gospel here is shows that there's something that in that gospel that we have to obey. See? So, this is what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God. Now, in order to not be able to obey it, for obviously it's not talking about those who are not called yet, the vast majority of the world, because many do not understand that truth and their minds have not been opened yet, even though the gospel was preached as a witness. That was to fulfill a prophecy, and it did. But this is talking about people who have received that gospel and are not obeying it. You know, I've mentioned before in other messages about where God's Word basically says that gospel is what leads to our salvation. Notice what it says in 2 Thessalonians Second Thessalonians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 13, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren," so it's talking about brethren, "beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief," what? "In the truth," see, has to do with the truth, verse 14, "to which he called you by our gospel," so that same gospel they were preaching was the gospel of Jesus Christ, again, which was given by God the Father, "in the purpose for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15, notice that, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by letter." So that's what the admonition there is from Paul, and today many are not standing fast in that. The vast majority are not. And that gospel that Paul preached was the same gospel of Jesus Christ. If you turn back a few pages to 1 Thessalonians and take note of one verse there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, where Paul says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit." See? So Paul's showing here that it's not our gospel was not ours. We were preaching that gospel that God gave us through His Spirit. "And in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." And as a result, look at verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So that gospel that Paul said that we preached, or our gospel, was the same gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where it came from. Christ revealed it and taught it to those men. And as Mr. Armstrong stated in the end time, that same Jesus Christ revealed the same truth to him. And much of that truth had been lost, so it was restored, that gospel, that truth. Notice now Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul was talking about his work to the Gentiles. In verse 6, he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, see, of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So see, Christ, what Paul is saying here is through that gospel, or that truth, that you can become a partaker of what? His promise. What is that promise? That promise of eternal life, of making it into God's kingdom. So it comes through that gospel, but through that truth and through that foundation that Jesus Christ laid through his apostles, and also the prophets of old. See, notice, turn back to chapter 1 here in Ephesians. Chapter 1 of Ephesians in verse 13, Paul says, "In him," this is a lot in this little verse, in verse 13, it says, "In him you also trusted after you heard," what? "The word of truth." And what is it? "The gospel of your salvation." See, a truth is that salvation. That gospel and the truth are the same. "The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So that's just showing there that truth and gospel is the same thing, and that's what leads to our salvation if we hold to it and trust it and believe in it, live by it. Today, God's people are not living by that gospel. They're trying to preach a gospel to the world, again, after it's already been done and fulfilled by God's apostle, and they're just trying to get out there and get that message out. And Mr. Armstrong said in his last Pentecost sermon of 1985, that, "Brethren, you just do not get it." He said, "I fear so much Protestantism has rubbed off on you that you don't realize that Christ is speaking to you through me." Well, in the context of that, the idea was that their whole purpose is to try to just make it into the kingdom first. So today we see that same Protestantism still rubbed off on these churches out here that are trying to preach the gospel. It's like they're on a crusade or a saving mission. Well, the gospel was only to be preached as a witness to all nations, not to save people. That comes at a later time. And during that time of it being preached, God called and built his church. And the purpose of that was so that they can be trained as teachers. So when Christ does return, he can set his hand to save the rest of mankind, he'll have those teachers under him. But God's people just did not get it. So today we see mass confusion with many divisions and much Everyone preaching their own version of the gospel, and every single one of them are perverted versions of the gospel. There's only one gospel. There's only one church. And it's our responsibility as Christians to know where that is. Christ said he's only got the one church. Notice Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 17. It says, but he, knowing their thoughts, that's referring to Christ, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. So, Christ is saying here, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Notice 1 Corinthians here, finally. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 10, and again, Paul is warning God's people, because this is to the church of God at Corinth, as it says in verse 2, who are called and sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, in verse 2 there. So, but this is a warning to God's people, and it's written in there, for our admonition today, upon whom the ends of the earth have come, brethren, the end of the age. So we should all take heed to this, but notice verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1, it says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. See, but there, that's not happening today, is it? So, this, we failed to follow this admonition, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. Well, we failed there too, didn't we? Look at God's people today. You see any division out there? But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Well, we fail there too. You see us perfectly joined together today in the same mind and judgment? No. We see mass confusion and perversion of the gospel. Perversion of God's truth is what it is. Verse 11 says, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, those of the Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. So do we see contentions today, brethren? Yes, we do. Verse 12 says, now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or am I of Christ. That's exactly what we see today. See, some say, well, I'm of this church, or I'm of that church of God, or this church of God. But notice verse 13, is Christ divided? See, he's speaking sarcastically there. Of course Christ is not divided. What did I just read to you there from Luke 11, verse 17? House divided against itself cannot stand, says Jesus Christ. So he says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Of course not. So he's pointing back to Christ, see? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And he says, I thank God that I baptized none of you, except Crispus and Gallus. So, he was speaking sarcastically to him, but he's trying to bring a point up to them, because they saw these divisions and contentions. I'm of this group, I'm of that group, and it should not be. We're supposed to be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. No divisions. We should be speaking the same thing, but that's not happening today in God's church. So, this is a warning to all of us. And God's going to correct this, because we're in a time of correction now for those who are beginning to wake up and being corrected by this, by God's word, and are beginning to speak the same mind again and returning to that foundation of truth. There's great joy in that, great comfort, you know, great love in it. What a blessing it is from God the Father and Jesus Christ for those who are waking up, beginning to see what we need to do, to repent of this Laodicean condition of, this is the way I see it, well, I belong to this group, or I belong to that group, well, I'm not too sure about that doctrine, but these over here are okay. It's all garbage. We have to repent of that Laodicean attitude and get ourselves and our own ideas out of the way and simply believe Jesus Christ, what he says in his word, and what he gave us through his apostles from the first century and from the 20th century, that end time apostle, Mr. Herbert Armstrong. We need to get back to that foundation, that truth. So we have a choice of being corrected now, or as God's Word says, to be corrected in the Great Tribulation. And it's unfortunate that Scripture shows that the vast majority of God's people, the ministry and the members, are going to go into that tribulation to be corrected. But there's still good news in that. God still does that in love for His people. He doesn't wish that any would perish. So even in that horrible time that's ahead, that time of horrible correction, the harsh correction, there's still hope, because there's an opportunity, yes, to die as martyrs, but to come out of that and still be in the first resurrection. And so, as a result, there won't be any Laodiceans, see, in that first resurrection in God's kingdom. There won't be Philadelphians. There won't be Thyatirans or Ephesians. They're going to be overcomers. You read through Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Jesus Christ says to each era, it's to the overcomer from each era that will be there with Him in that kingdom. So that's our goal, brethren, is to be overcome this Laodicean condition, this spirit of division, and get back to that sound mind of Jesus Christ, that sound doctrine, see? And that's what's contained in the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that one gospel, that one way to salvation. So I hope this has been helpful. Until next time, take care. I love you all.